You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to the Cigar Nerd Podcast. Doing things a little bit differently this week. Normally we would have an episode up this week, but we've been on the road recording some road shows, so we're going to release a little bonus podcast for you just to fill you in until we drop the normal episode that would have gone here. While we were out of town, we did a panel at the Steampunk Symposium up in Ohio called, I think we titled it Cigars 101. It's basically an introduction to cigars for anyone who is thinking about getting into the cigar smoking lifestyle and kind of the basics of what you need to know to become a cigar smoker. So we're going to release that panel, the audio from that panel at least, for you this week. This is the episode for all those people that say we don't talk enough about cigars in an episode, because now you're getting a hour-long discussion on the beginnings of cigars. So without further ado, here's our panel. Welcome to Cigars 101. I'm Smoking Joe.
I'm Brad Jackson.
This is going to be kind of a introduction to people who are new to cigars, but then maybe a little bit more detailed information for, you know, obviously some of you guys are you know, you guys new smokers or just, so you'll actually learn stuff. The rest of us is the same old shit.
Not really. I mean, I've learned stuff. I mean, it's, probably learned stuff. You know, the beauty is you never stop learning. And my take on something may not be your experience and your take. So, you know, we're going to try to give everybody, you know, kind of the facts and keep everything pretty high level. But, you know, just know that our experience, just because that's what it was for me, may not necessarily be your experience. So everybody can have kind of their unique perspectives. And yeah, there's really no wrong way to do it.
If we're talking about something, yeah, that, you know, y'all heard differently, have a comment, probably have a question for, feel free to, you know, jump in the conversation. Are you sure the mouse works?
Yes.
First slide. All right. First of all, handmade cigars versus machine made. Basically, you know, if you're buying cigars at a gas station with the label Philly Blunt on it or something, it's pretty much a cigarette in a cigars clothing. Cigars are made with long filler tobacco. That means full tobacco leaves, and only full tobacco leaves go into the product. You know, it's still, however many hundreds of years people have been making cigars, it's all still done by hand. I mean, you go down to the factories in Nicaragua, and there's little old, you know, Dominican ladies twirling cigars. with the machine made, like I said, that stuff's all made out of pretty much tobacco scraps, just ground up leftover tobacco, not the highest grade stuff in the world. And it's pretty much, like I said, the same stuff that goes into cigarettes. You know, so cigarettes, you've got all these chemicals, papers, all the bad stuff. With cigars, it's 100% tobacco. That's all you're getting.
So, you know, up next is kind of the composition of the tobacco and kind of a breakdown of the plant where, you know, the actual tobacco comes from. You know, people think a tobacco plant, and they just assume the whole plant is, you know, just used and it all contains the same flavor. That's not the case.
How they break it down for classification stuff, they basically break it down into three main segments, and there's like a few stuff in each one of them. But mainly it's Velado, Seco, and Ligero is the three big classification. Velado is the lowest leaves on the plant. That's all the stuff, you know, down here, which is the bigger leaves. Those are mainly used they get the least sun sight. I completely lost my place. They're the oldest plants on leaves on the plant. They get the least sunlight. They are mainly added to the blend. So they're, like, when we start talking about the actual physical construction of the cigar, they're all the tobacco that's on inside the cigar. So anytime they're talking about the blend, they're talking about stuff, yeah, mainly the Velado. Seco is the middle of the plant. They're the biggest leaves. Those are what you usually end up with, you know, for your wrappers and stuff. So that, you know, a lot of your outside leaves are going to be from that part. And then at the very top of the plant is the Ligero,
anytime people start talking about the strength of a cigar, that's mainly what Lajero leaves are used for. There's, you know, it's like adding Tabasco to something. It gives that extra kick.
You get, you know, with the Lajeros, you hear people when they talk about cigars, you know, oh, that's got a peppery spice to it, and it's oftentimes that Lajero and that additional sunlight that it's getting that gives a tobacco, you know, some of that spice.
Yeah, it don't take a whole lot of Lajero to kick up a cigar. There's a few people that are dumb enough to use nothing but Lajero, and it's kind of like a novelty cigar just to, like, screw your friends over.
Yeah.
In fact, it's called the Nasty Ass Shit from LFD. But it's completely wrapper, binder, filler, it's all Lajero tobacco. It's kind of like, we've smoked it before, it's like a challenge cigar. Like, let's see who pukes first.
Gosh. And I mean, you know, and it was weird because it was all strength, but no flavor. Like, you know, as far as the actual taste, you were just like, this is boring as hell, but my mouth is on fire.
That's the thing, when people start talking about strength, like, you can have a mild cigar that has a lot of flavor. Like, strength and flavor is usually two different classifications. Because, I mean, there's some, like, real mild cigars that aren't going to give you a lot of kick, but
they have a complex blend and
abundance of flavor. And at the same note, there's some cigars that have no flavor, but kick you in the teeth strength.
Yes.
So this is the actual, you know, what a cigar is made of. The filler is the inner leaves of the cigar. That's where you get some of your flavors from, and that's where they also put stuff to add the strength, like the Lajero, but also to, there's some leaves that really don't give you any flavor, but it helps the burn of the cigar. So that's pretty much where the cigar is built in the blend. After the filler tobacco is what they call the binder. And the binder is just there to kind of give the cigar, like, strength hold together. That way, if your wrapper breaks, your cigar is just not going to explode into a whole bunch of leaves, because it has that binder level to give it shape and you hold it together. And then the outer wrapper is, well, the wrapper. That's where you get about 60 to 90% of your flavor comes from. Or at least that's what, depending on which website you read.
Probably one of the age-old debates is people will, you know, sit there and have arguments. No, the wrapper does nothing for the flavor and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if you pick up, you know, a Habano Ecuadorian wrapper, which is what this is, versus a Maduro wrapper, which is, you know, still dark, but it has a sweetness to the wrapper, you will definitely pick up on that.
And like I said, you can come across certain companies, like all their cigars will have the same blend, but when you buy it with a different wrapper leaf, it completely changes the taste of it.
Yeah, I've noticed too, but like when you have a different ratio of like wrapper to filler,
uh-huh.
Some bigger cigars versus smaller cigars, even if it's the same tobacco, like there's still a pretty big difference.
Oh yeah, well right to that point, you know, one of the cigar shapes that we've recently started smoking is a Lancero. And it's about probably a 7-inch cigar, but it's very skinny. So it's probably only a 30, you know, or 40 ring gauge, not much bigger than a typical cigarette.
The wrapper is, you know, kind of, you get more of the wrapper flavor with those. So it's, you know, it may all be the same type of cigar, but and a lot of times the size is just for, you know, preference. But when you get to the Lancero or you get to like the really big sizes, like the 60, unless they change the blend, you can really tell a difference in the flavor when you get into those either really small or really big sizes. And the wrappers. There's actually 50 named types of wrappers on cigars, but most of them fall into four main categories, which is Connecticut, Corojo, Habano, and Maduro. The Connecticut wrappers is actually comes from U.S. is one of the few, you know, cigar exports that we have is the Connecticut. You may hear it called the Connecticut shade grown because they'll actually, you know, put them in these little tents under like cheesecloth to block the direct sun and keep it a milder cigar. So, you know, if you're looking for a beginner cigar, if you see anything Connecticut shade grown, that's one that usually does not have a lot of strength. But you can also get shade grown. You know, they kind of move that technique, I've seen Ecuadorian shade grown, Dominican shade grown, but Connecticut is kind of a widely used term because that's where it all originated. And then the Corojo wrapper is a little bit darker than the Connecticut. It's kind of like your medium. Like when people talk about cigars, that's usually like the traditional cigar you see is the Corojo wrapper. It was originally grown in Cuba, but because of the embargo, you know, it's moved out to Honduras, the Dominican. And that, where you get a little bit more spice than when you get, that's one thing I don't really like about, I don't smoke a whole lot of Connecticut's, because most of those tend to be too mild for me, because I smoke everything black as the ace of spades. But yeah, with the Connecticut's, to me, it's almost like smoking a cigarette. I don't get a whole lot of flavor, with the exception of there's a few cigars that are that mild cigar, but still give you a lot of flavor, like the, was it Monte Cristo Shade Grown Reserve?
Yep.
They came out with last year. That one's got a lot of flavor for a milder cigar. But if you're looking for something a little bit more kick, Corojo is like kind of your medium go-to cigar. And after that is the Habano wrapper. Similar in color to the Corojo, but it's grown mostly in Nicaragua. It produces a heavy, spicy flavor, you know, often dense with nicotine. So that one's like when you start getting up there and you want something a little strong, look for something supporting a Habano, which in that Habano there.
Yeah, that's what I've got here, so.
Not quite as dark as the Maduro, but it's getting there.
Yeah, and a lot of people just automatically assume that, you know, a dark cigar is automatically a stronger cigar. That's not necessarily the case. You know, we'll get into pairings a little bit here in just a bit, but, you know, for the most part, you know, if you walk into a shop and you really don't know what you're interested in or what would be good, then, you know, talk a little bit about what you like to drink. Talk about the foods you like to eat. You know, I prefer a lot of smoked foods, a lot of barbecues, stuff like that. So, you know, me, even though it's a lighter cigar, I like the woody and the cedar notes of a Connecticut. But I also prefer, you know, the spice that, you know, you get from like a Habano or something as well. So
that too, you can actually get, I've seen them, it's like, they call them like a blender cigar, but they'll actually wrap the cigar in multiple leaves. Like each inch of the cigar is a different leaf, and you know, everything inside is the same, it has the same one. So you can really, when you smoke that, you can really tell how the leaf affects the flavor. Because it's like I said, every inch is like a different wrapper leaf. And then finally, the other of the big four is the Maduros, which that's pretty much my primary smoke because I'm crazy like that. But Maduros is the darkest in color, enjoys the longest lifespan, like I said. And the thing is, Maduro is not actually a leaf, it's a aging technique. It's basically fermented tobacco. So pretty much you can make anything in a Maduro as long as it's a thick enough leaf so it can survive the aging process. But yeah, it's very like peppery. But these are more like a sweet smoke. I mean, even though it's black, doesn't always mean that it's, yeah, going to be a super strong cigar, even though it's like some of them are black as our laptop case. But they tend to have a little bit more sweetness. I mean, there's a few like the whatever DL700 that are, they put a lot of Lajero in it, so it definitely,
yeah, you get the sweetness of the wrapper, but you know, yeah, the composition and the filler of the cigar is very just, you know, intense blast of pepper. But it's a very interesting dynamic because you get that combination of sweet and spice going on. So
there we go. What we kind of were talking about earlier, does size really matter? And yeah, despite what your girlfriend says, it matters some. The different sizes of a cigar are called vitolas, which you, a lot of time, especially in the American market, you don't hear that term used a lot because each company will have their own name for those vitolas. Like, so it ends up kind of being like the model of the cigar. You know, it's a Rocky Patel edge, but it's, you know, Rocky Patel edge torpedo, you know, or whatever. There, some of them will either go with the traditional vitola names, but a lot of them will have their own personal name for that size. Like the there's one I haven't got a hold of one yet, but it's can't even remember the freaking name of that, but it's Nintendo themed. The box looks like an old NES system, and each size of the cigar is named after the Konami code. So they're, oh, so it's nice. Like one of them's the up-up, the other one's the down-down, the one's left-right, left-right, V8, and then there's 60 is the start.
That's amazing.
And the wrapper even has like 8-bit graphics, and it has like, it says push here to start on the wrapper. So it's like full-on video game thing.
You need a box.
Yeah, I've seen them online. I haven't seen them here local, but I definitely want to get a hold of some of those. And like I said, the shape also affects it. It's more of a, a just a preference. Like what feels good in your hand, what feels good in your mouth. You know, it's also kind of a matter of time. Like if you're not going to, like you said, you're smoking some cigarillos earlier, like with a cigar, you're smoking a 60, you're going to need like time to, you can't just, you know, there's no such thing as a 15-minute cigar break unless you're smoking something really small. So when you start talking about the sizes, it's really kind of like preference on the feel of it, but then also what kind of time you're going to put into smoking it. And so if you're getting a 74 ring gauge, you're going to need like at least 2 hours.
And you're going to need a hell of a cutter, or at least a punch.
Yeah.
Kitchen knife and a cutting board.
Yes.
And when people talk about ring gauge, too, that's going to be the overall diameter of the cigar, which is 64 in 164ths of an inch sizes. So if you see a 64 ring gauge, it's actually a full inch diameter cigar. And these are your common sizes of cigars. Like, see the... since this is so small, I can't read it. Yeah, this is the Double Corona, Grand Corona, Churchill is like probably one of the most common, you know, old school sizes, which is a 7x48. And you'll see those, like I said, 7 denotes the length of the cigar. The other number, the second number, is the ring gauge of the cigar. And you also get different shapes, like torpedoes versus, you know, your standard round tip, box press, where they actually put the cigar in a press after it's done, so he has like flat square sizes instead of being round. And occasionally you'll see some weird stuff where they just kind of, there's one, it's like a popular Cuban thing where they'll take 3 cigars and kind of twist them around each other, which I don't know if you're supposed to take it apart to smoke it, but it's gotta be a weird thing to try. I want to find one just to see how crazy it is.
I don't know, it's kind of like the freaking, what was it? The Island Gem, the Maduros, where he actually wraps his cigar.
Oh, the Leaf by Oscar, yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's, they use after the cigar's done, they actually wrap it in another cigar leaf, kind of like an enchilada or something. So it's like, and they weren't selling it first. People were like, I don't know how to smoke this. Do you smoke it with the leaf still on? Like, no, it's just packaging. Instead of using a cellophane wrapper, we wrap it in a leaf. So, yeah, take the leaf off and you got something to hang on your wall. Do some cigar decorations with it. These are your common ring sizes. All the way from there's the big 64, which there's a few people that are starting to make those now. There's one actually called the Inch by E.P. Carrillo. Yeah, that's one that takes a while. And that's one thing is, like, traditionally, cigars weren't that big. Like, you know, the Churchill was about your basic size, you know, around a 48 ring gauge. And especially because we've talked to some of the manufacturers in the American market, we all think bigger is better. So now the 60 ring gauge is pretty much like standard. It's not every cigar makes something in like a 50 or above. But
yeah, I don't know. I mean, for me personally,
quite common.
You know, I think this right here is actually a 56, so it's a little bit smaller than a 60. But you know. A 60 ring gauge, like when I smoke a cigar, I want to feel like I'm smoking a cigar. I don't want it to have the same mouthfeel as a cigarette or my vape or something to that effect. You know,
if I want to kill 2 hours, yeah, I want something that's gonna. Like, it's so, for some people, it's just an economic thing. You feel like you're getting more cigar when you're buying a giant cigar, so you don't have to buy 2 cigars to fill that same hour block of time. You can just smoke one, and be done with it. All right, and this is the actual parts of a cigar. The foot is the open end, which is mostly open. There are a few closed, like some of the Christoph does a closed foot. But that's the part you're going to like. So if you go into some shop and they're like, they're smoking cigars for it, and you're like, oh, well, you know, just like the foot. And you know, and if they don't tell people what end is the foot, sometimes hilarity ensues. And of course, the body's self-explanatory. That's the body of the cigar. And the cap is the closed end. That's the end that goes in your mouth. And like I said, that's the part you'll cut when you're lighting cigars. And I've even seen some, it's almost like a diamond shaped, it's like a box press, but it's almost diamond shaped. And there's the way the cap is wrapped. You don't even have to cut it, you kind of squeeze it and it just pops. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you ever forget your cutter, it's a convenient cigar, I guess.
That's a good travel cigar.
Yeah. All right, let's start with the actual how to smoke a cigar. Cutting a cigar is your first thing. And there is a ton of different styles of cutters. The guillotine cutter, which is like it's a single blade that goes straight across the cigar, or your double guillotine cutter, which is like your Zycar up here in the corner, which is primarily what I use, and that's what you see the most of probably. There's the V-cut, which you got your V-cut on you. Those, instead of cutting the whole cap off, this kind of cuts like a trench out of the cigar.
Oh,
which I kind of like those on some of the bigger cigars that, like, if you're smoking something that's a pretty big ring gauge, it's hard to get them in those little guillotine cutters. But with the V, you can usually cut. Some people don't like them because they think it makes the cigar stop, like the nicotine will kind of, when you're going from a, you know, kind of like a water hose, when you stick your finger over it, you're getting more, everything kind of collects in that tip, and you start getting those nicotine flavors in your mouth because it's not, you know, the smoke's not going straight through. It's getting kind of bound up in that area, but I've never noticed any real difference in it. And then the punch cigars, which are punch cigars. Well, there is a punch cigar, but punch cutters, it's almost like a little bullet, like that there. And you just kind of poke a hole in the end of your cigar. Those are actually real good for the giant ring gauge cigars because you're not going to find anything on it. And some of your lighters actually come with them. This one has a built-in punch cutter on the back of it. And when you're cutting your cigar, that's another thing too. Don't cut too much of it. You want to cut just enough to get a hold of smoke in. If you cut too far down, you'll pass the cap. You know, because the cap, not only is it's there for a purpose, it's really like where they roll from, so it kind of holds the cigar together. So if you cut too far, you know, some people, you'll see them cut almost down to the band on it, and then your cigar ends up just kind of falling apart and unraveling on you.
I mean, not only that, but personally, when I cut a cigar, I still want it to have a little bit of a rounded edge. I don't want it to just be a straight, you know, circle, because the mouthfeel is weird and it just doesn't feel natural to me. So, you know, once again, that's kind of a little bit of a preference thing, but
yeah, if you're not sure, like, it's kind of weird. The cigar starts to taper off just past that is like probably the farthest you want to cut down. And sometimes if you don't cut off enough, you're not going to get a lot of airflow. So you may have to cut a little bit more off if your cigar is kind of, you're not getting a good draw on it, or it starts going out on you a lot. And it's the number two. They call it the number two because it looks like a pencil. It actually comes down to a tip, and there's two different wrappers on it. There's a Maduro tip and then like a little Connecticut piece. So it looks like a sharpened pencil. It's the weirdest damn thing, but it tastes pretty good. And then you get to the lighting of your cigars. Even though it looks cool, I do not recommend using the flamethrower.
Yeah,
especially if you're bearded.
Oh boy,
I don't see how that feels.
It would look awesome, but you could probably only do it once. There's typically two types of, well, two methods of lighting a cigar: wood matches or butane torches. You know, traditionalists, like I said, if you ever watched Hellboy, they're like, got to use a freaking wooden match. And that's because if you use something like your standard gas station Bic or even a Zippo, the fuel in them has like a taste to it, and it'll actually ruin your cigar because that gas will, you know, you'll affect the flavor of the cigar.
Absorbed into the leaf. And yeah,
with butane, it's a odorless, tasteless gas, so it really will not affect the light at all.
And if you're big on carrying a Zippo or anything to that effect, Zippo does make, you know, butane inserts, so you can do the full fuel conversion and everything. So,
go back. I thought there was another. So yeah, different types of lighters. You have single torch, you have dual torch, which is what I got. I've seen them all the way up to like 5 flames. Traditionally, what they say to do is, I like a multiple torch for getting it lit, especially when you're smoking like a big cigar. Having multiple torches gets a whole even light on the cigar, where your single torches are mainly good for kind of like if it starts to go out on you, or you're getting an uneven burn, the single torches are good for kind of, you know, trimming up the cigar as you're going. If you, you know, so you don't have to light the whole thing. You can kind of hit the part that's running bad on you. And the method for lighting the cigar is, of course, first you want to kind of toast your foot, where you just kind of warm it up, get it. You're not really lighting at this point. You're just kind of like browning it, you know, like. And then once you have it kind of an even toast on it, then you know, hold. You don't want to put your flame right up against the cigar. Kind of hold it away from the cigar and just puff on it and twirl just to get that whole thing where it's a cherry red. And
yeah, you'll see some people and they'll take their cigar and they will have the leaf and everything just absolutely incinerated. Proper way is you never actually let the flame touch your cigar. You draw it in close and let the heat, and then that way you don't get charred all flavors and everything else too.
That's it. And of course, you know, once you get it lit, you want to enjoy your cigar. Like what we were saying earlier, there's not a 15-minute cigar break unless you're just smoking like one of those tiny nubs, and even those things burn longer than you expect them will. So like, yeah, just, it's one thing you got to invest time in. You know, relax, have a beer, whatever, and just, you know, it's almost meditation. Like, I've seen what Steve Harvey was like, you know, like, I don't do drugs, I don't drink, you know, I do cigars. It's like, this is my yoga. This is how I relax at the end of the day.
Well, I mean, it's much more, you know, for me, when I'm smoking a cigar, I don't care if I've smoked a cigar 1,000 times. Each time I smoke the cigar, my environment plays into it. So if I'm, you know, just chilling downstairs in the man cave and I've got my scotch or whatever, you know, it's the experience of smoking the cigar and just the relaxation and taking your time and enjoying it and not just having, you know, the weight of the work day or the work week, whatever, you know, weighing down on you, just,
you know, let go.
Yeah, let go. And you know, when I light up a cigar, like, everybody knows, like, all right, don't approach me with business, don't approach me with personal drama. Like, that's my time, my space. And you know,
even so, if you're like freezing your ass outside of a hotel and all night smoking a cigar, which
I mean, once again, that was the experience.
It's a different experience.
But you know, no sooner than we light the cigar, though, I mean, we had 6-8 people gather around, and everybody, you know, all of a sudden starts talking about, you know, oh, I can remember my grandfather smoking the cigar, or you know, they're talking about the, you know, the aromas and everything to that effect. So
yeah, I've had a lot of people approach us, just, you know, they're like, I don't like a cigarette smoke, but cigar smoke doesn't offend me. It actually smells, you know, pretty good to them. It's it's like, oh no, it's almost like a history thing. Everyone had at least, you know, a grandfather or you know, someone, or grew up watching movies where, you know, John Wayne blazing a cigar, or
yeah, that, or you know, even pipes, you know, to an extent. You know, I can always remember my grandfather smoking a black cherry tobacco, and just the aroma of that cherry smoke, you know, that's, anytime I walk into a shop or somebody lights it up, like, that's the memories that I have.
All right, cigar etiquette. Which,
you want to go back?
What were you talking about, etiquette? I mean, cigar etiquette, there's a few things that there's websites that you can actually look up. They make these ridiculous, like, cigar
etiquette. I mean, you got prom etiquette, you got cigar etiquette. I mean, you know, they kind of go hand in hand.
But I mean, it's like, especially when you're smoking in a cigar lounge, you meet so many different people that you would have never met, you know, otherwise. Like, you know, you were saying earlier, like, you know, generals, businessmen, bikers, it doesn't matter. Like, we all have that one thing in common, and, you know, we're all there to hang out, have a cigar, and it, you know, it kind of connects people. There's a few things, like, one thing I see brand new smokers do, and they come to the shop, when they're done smoking their cigar, they want to just smash it out in the ashtray like a cigarette. Don't do that. It stinks up the place, for one. Like, when you smash out a cigar,
yeah, like,
it just smokes up everything. And another thing, like, a cigar will go out on its own. Like, if you're not, like, cigarettes actually have stuff in them to keep them burning, but cigars, like I said, if you stop smoking them, they'll go out on their own and not, you know, cause a big mess when you try to stamp one out. Unless you're smoking outdoors, then, you know, maybe throw it on the ground and give it a stop if you're worried about causing a fire. But if you're in a shop somewhere with an ashtray, yeah.
Remember, kids, smoking the bear says only you can prevent forest fires.
Just when you, just leave it there and let it go out on its own. Another thing, I've had people ask me, like, when do you stop smoking a cigar? Like, do you stop when you get to the band? It's pretty much a preference thing. I mean, I don't stop if my knuckles get warm. I mean, that's your sign your cigar is done. When your hand starts burning, it's okay to give up at that
point. Or if it's 20 or 30 degrees and your fingers are numb and you start to get the feeling back, you're probably like, oh yeah, you know, there's a warming sensation. I'm probably finished at that point.
Buying cigars. There's, traditionally there's two ways. There's buying a cigar from your brick and mortar retail establishment, and then there's the big thing now is buying them online. I'd say the difference, especially if you're a brand new smoker, you definitely want to go into a shop to get your cigars, because there's someone there who that's all they do is deal with cigars. So if you're just wanting to get into it and you don't know what you like yet, they can kind of, you tell them, hey, I like this flavor. I like bourbon. I like, steaks or whatever. They can kind of build a taste profile based on what your preference and stuff is, and kind of, guide you into that area for your first cigar. And then maybe find, once you find that first cigar, ask for something like, hey, I want something that's maybe a little stronger than this, a little sweeter than this. And you can kind of that first cigar gives you a starting point. Decide what you like about it. A lot of people, especially when they're starting out, will just take notes on the cigars, and like, hey, I like this, this, and this about the cigar, but I didn't like this and this. And that will help start getting you, dialed in on what kind of cigars you like. And then experiment from there. I mean, there's no such thing as a bad cigar, unless you're smoking a Philly Blunt.
Which even then, it has its time and its place.
Yeah, the time and the place is when you're at it's 420 and you want to pack it with something. Otherwise, nobody smokes a Philly Blunt because they like it. They buy them to use them as wrappers. Or they're kids and I'm smoking cigars, man. Like, no, you're not. You're smoking a glorified cigar.
That's the only thing that gentleman's establishment had on hand for that given moment.
That's also they had that strip club. But like I said, and especially like I said, if you know what you want, you can get it all online. Sometimes you can get a little bit of deal on it, but there's also a matter of condition. You don't know where that cigar is coming from. It may be in a warehouse somewhere that's not humidified, and when you get them, you're going to have to rehumidify them for at least a week or so before they're even decently smokable. And I don't know how many things I've ordered from Amazon or whatever, and the UPS guys kick the shit out of it before it gets to my door. At least when you go in a shop, it's a lot easier to know the condition of what you're smoking.
Well, I mean, one of the beauties is you can always open up the box. You can see the construction. You can see if there's obvious cracks in the wrappers or anything to that effect. And, ordering online, I've ordered some box deals that saved me, $30 or so. But at the end of the day, cigars were plugged, or there were cracked wrappers, and the experience was just like, damn, really? It wasn't worth the savings versus just going to my local brick and mortar and saying, hey dude, I need this box, and just paying the $10-$15 markup, whatever the case is.
That too, and it's like we're talking about those Nintendo cigars. If you can't find them locally, there's some companies that aren't national yet, and you can only get them kind of in regional. You can always find them online. If you read about something or hear about something and you can't find it in your local shop, the internet's always you can find anything on the internet. Hookers, guns, cocaine. It's all about the right website.
Yeah, and then, the other thing too, a lot of people, I've been in with, like my dad, for instance, never smoked a cigar. And, we walked into a shop and, the owner had a couple of boxes that he's had probably for 3 or 4 years that are aged, and they had a white film on them. And he's like, oh my, these are moldy, I would never buy that, blah blah blah. There's a difference between a plume, which is good, versus obvious mold, which is bad, which would
plume's more of like almost like an ashy color, like it's like a white ashy flavor. And you get some of those if it's a really aged cigar, you'll see that occasionally. then it all kind of, it also all depends on how it's been stored, and because you can get really old cigars that don't have plume. It's one of those things that nobody really can control. It just, yeah, sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't. But if you see a cigar with a plume on it, smoke it, because that thing's been aging for a while, and it's probably, because yeah, I mean, you can't age cigars like you age wine. I've had, you know, I mean, some of them don't, you know, like the Michael Patel Edge is like aged 5 years before it even makes it to a retail shop. So it all, there's some cigars that, like I said, age really well, and some don't. But yeah, especially if you get like a box, it may be nice to pull two or three sticks out and just stick them like in the back of your humidor and forget about them and
yeah, see, I mean, how that's kind of what I do. Is that, you know, I'll take something, you know, and I'll put it on the top shelf, and you know, after I get down to just having three or four cigars left, I'll move it to the bottom shelf, or I'll bury it in one of my humidors, just that way I kind of forget about it, and it's almost a little bit of a treat, you know, especially if, you know, we'll go into, or you know what, we're talking about buying now. You know, a lot of people operate under the pretense that, you know, price dictates a good cigar, and that's not necessarily true. You know, you can get into the Arturo Fuente Opus X, you know, which is, you know, one of the probably flashiest bands and most coveted cigars that, you know, people love to brag about that, you know, they smoke.
It's a damn good cigar.
It's a damn good cigar.
$25, $35.
But at that price, I have found cigars that I've liked just as equally good, or if not better, at the $8-$9 price range.
I mean, even the AJ Fuente, AJ Fernandez New World was Cigar of the Year last year, and it's a $6 stick. I mean, you can find good cigars for, you know, not a lot of money, and then you can find crappy cigars that they charge a whole bunch just for
the novelty of it.
Like the Gurkha, whatever, Titan or Trinidad, no, whatever, it's like $150.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about plume and mold. You know, this is kind of up for debate. Ideally, you want your cigars to be, when you're storing them, roughly 70% humidity at a 70-degree temperature. Me, personally, I prefer 65 and 65 on most of my cigars. You know, at 70, a lot of times, you know, they're almost too moist and, you know, burn a little bit unevenly for me. So, you know, it's kind of a matter of preference from that aspect. But you know, not keeping your humidor overly humidified or overly warm prevents any chance of mold, or you will sometimes hear people talk about, you know, they got a beetle infestation. So if you ever buy cigars online and you see a bunch of little holes in the wrapper, that's from a beetle. And, you know, if you throw that in your humidor, a lot of times there's larvae in there and stuff that can hatch, and all of a sudden, all of your cigars are now, you know, basically contaminated. So,
and I've never tried it, but I've heard a few people recommend it, especially if you're buying them from a source you don't know. They'll take their cigars and put them in the freezer overnight just to kill off any kind of, you know, bugs that may be in it before they put it in their humidor and bring it up to temp. Because a lot of times sometimes you'll get that stuff and you won't see any kind of damage to the cigar. And then after it's been in your humidor for a couple of weeks, that 70-70 range, all of a sudden you got a bunch of holes in your cigars.
Then you're smoking dead larvae, right?
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, that's pretty metal, too.
That's when you break out the guitars, the drums, whatever you play. And just
dead larvae! Yeah. Or what about conditioning your humidor, Brad?
So that's always a big thing for people when they first buy a humidor. Great, I got this nice box and I know I'm supposed to throw cigars in it. A lot of people, they buy the humidor, they buy a bottle of cigars or a box or whatever and immediately throw them in there. Well, unfortunately, that cedar wood that's there has not been properly humidified itself. So all of the moisture that's in those cigars, it's going to absorb that, and all of your cigars are going to come out dry and stale. So it's important. I recommend, what I do when I buy a new humidor is I get a sponge and some distilled water, and I will wipe the inside of the humidor. Anything with wood gets a light coat of water, just enough water to discolor the wood. There's no puddling or anything to that effect. Some people tell me my technique is wrong, and what they'll do is they'll take a shot glass, fill it with water and set the shot glass inside the humidor and just close the lid and keep it closed until they achieve their desired humidity. Usually that takes, you know, a week or two. So, you know, I think with the sponge and the distilled water, you know, within a couple of days, I've got my humidor seasoned and it's holding steady temperature and humidity. You know, you can even, you know, talking about hygrometers and the way you measure humidity, you measure your temperature.
Most humidors will come with a hydrometer and some way of humidifying it.
The important thing, though, is
crap. So, like, the first thing you want to upgrade is buying a different humidifier.
I run a nice digital
hydrometer
on all of my stuff, but even the analog dial hygrometers, you know, it's important to make sure that it's actually calibrated and it's actually reading the proper humidity. So a lot of people see that, oh yeah, it says 70 on the box. So, you know, a way you can calibrate is most have an adjustment screw on the back. So you can take a 20-ounce bottle lid, fill it with salt, and then just put a couple of drops of distilled water on that salt, put your hygrometer in a Ziploc bag, seal it within 24 hours, you will have achieved 75% humidity. So, you know, immediately after, you know, pulling the hygrometer out, put it at 75, you're ready to, you know it's calibrated, it's going to measure the proper humidity.
And there's different types of humidifiers. I mean, especially for some of your big humidors, you can buy, like, electric ones, or most humidors come with, like, old-school sponge humidifiers. And with those, you definitely want to use distilled water, because if you use, like, regular tap water, there's impurities in there, and you may get mold. So either boil your water first or use distilled water. The other thing a lot of people use and aquifer is the humidity beads. Because most of those are, and it's just like a little clear dot. You put them in water, and they swell up.
Yeah,
and,
I've actually got
a couple sticks of them.
You know, just a few sticks that I threw in a little box here, so... You know, the beauty of these is they actually, you know, absorb and emit humidity.
Yeah,
so, you know,
too much humidity, they'll actually suck water back in. And there's some called Bovita packs that are a lot of people are using. A lot of times you order some, they'll come with them. And it's like a little pouch that has a humidity level on the outside. And it's, I think it's one per 25 cigars you're supposed to use. And it's... You don't have to do anything with them. They come already pre-humidified, and whatever that, you know, number is on the box that you prefer, if it's above 70, it'll suck up water. If it's below 70, it'll release water, and you pretty much, they're disposable. So, like, every 3-4 months, you just toss them out, get new ones. And you don't really have to have, you know, when you're starting out, you don't even really have to have a humidor. A lot of people make, I mean, you can use a Ziploc bag with some kind of humidification device, like those Bovita packs and a Ziploc bag. I mean, it doesn't look good sitting on your desk, but it functions. Like Tupperware dishes, especially when you get, if you have like a lot of cigars, people make humidors out of just regular Igloo cooler, Coleman coolers.
Yeah,
as long as it's a sealed box.
That's the biggest thing. So you think about a cooler, and that's exactly what it's designed to do. It's designed to seal, trap that cold air, and you know, it works just as well with the humidity and everything. I've seen people do really awesome enclosures, and, you know, instead of having the plastic, they'll actually do a cedar lining and everything, and, you know, then wine chillers, you know, instead of, you know, the metal wine racks, they'll replace with cedar wood racks, and, you know, they'll basically buy potentiometers and stuff like that to prevent the temperature from dropping, you know, below their 70 or 65 degree temp or whatever they want. And, you know, a few pounds of the Bermuda beads, like you were saying, and
they're nice. I can't afford that many cigars to fill one of those things, but if you do have a lot of cigars, they're kind of cool.
And that's the other recommendation I would throw out there is, I probably have, let's see, I've given you at least one or two humidors. I've given other people a couple of humidors because I was the idiot that said, oh, I'm never going to have more than 25 cigars at a time.
Always, whatever you think you need, always,
you know,
buy,
like,
the size up, because you'll always end up with
always
more
buy
cigars
bigger. Especially if you really enjoy cigars, because you're going to strike up conversations. People are going to give you stuff. you know, and...
And you can get little small travel humidors if you just need something for a couple sticks. Like I said, that was like the first one I bought. Now I got one that's like, it holds like 10 cigars. It looks like a little Pelican case. And those things, I mean, they're... You can almost run over them with a car. They're pretty stout. And so if you're just going to throw them in your, you know, go bag and take off, they're going to protect your cigars and keep them pretty well humidified. Most of the time, you don't even have to. But if you're just going to go for like the weekend, you don't even have to like put water in them. Because it's a sealed plastic environment. So as long as the cigars come out humidified, they'll normally stay humidified unless you're doing some kind of long-term storage with it.
All right, so, you know, this is kind of one of my favorites. I'm a home brewer. I'm a scotch and bourbon drinker. All the thing. And I'm big into barbecue, smoking foods, and things of that nature. So, you know, with that, I'm always looking for what type of cigar to pair. You know, my cigar preference versus summer and winter is much like my beer preference. You know, in the summer, I don't mind a Belgium or something of that nature. In the winter, I am much more of a stout, a porter drinker. I'm looking for those warming notes, you know, even some barley wines, things of that nature that have that warming alcohol kind of taste. So, you know, I'm always experimenting to figure out exactly what cigar, you know, flavors pair with whatever I'm going to be eating or drinking for the day. I don't know. It's almost some kind of like mixology in a sense. Like, yeah. Instead of,
and just a basic recommendation is, if you're going to smoke a real strong cigar, you want something that's going to be kind of equally strong. So if you're smoking something that's got a lot of mild flavors, and you want to drink a nice strong bourbon, it's going to overpower the flavor of the cigar in here. So you kind of want to balance that out. So if you're smoking a strong cigar, you want to pair it with something that's also strong flavored. If you're smoking a mild cigar, then maybe you want some like a nice white wine, something that's not as strong as a good old bourbon.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm drinking something with a whiskey with some sort of devil's cut, which is, you know, just super intense oak woody flavor, then, you know, I'm going to look for, you know, probably a Kentucky Fire Cured cigar that's also going to have those same, you know, smoky and oak flavors to it as well. Like, you know,
what's that Camacho one? Their new fire. It's a Camacho barrel aged.
Yep.
Where they're aged in old whiskey barrels, and they have kind of that, they pick up a little char from the barrel. So, I mean, those, I love smoking those when we're doing some grilling, because the smoky flavors goes with, you know, with the food. And I mean, some people, they like to pair food with cigars. I'm like, I cannot eat and smoke at the same time. There's just too much going on. Mm-hmm. But nice pre-dinner smoke.
No, I mean, I'm more, you know, like if I've did a nice steak or, you know, a dessert or something, I've got cigars that I'm like, oh, you know, this cigar is going to be really great after dessert. Or if, you know, my main course of steak or something is, you know, my final meal, then I'm like, you know what? This is going to be a nice full body, hearty cigar. This is what I'm going to smoke after, you know, that portion of the meal or whatever. So
yeah, nice dessert. A nice, you know, sweet Maduro with the dessert is pretty good.
Pinot Noir is usually my go-to cigar wine.
I'm sorry, what was that?
So Pinot Noir is usually my go-to cigar wine.
Yes,
that's the way I got to get it. Like the cigar shop we hang out with. He's a total winer. He's got like a wine cellar that's bigger than most restaurants.
I mean, what's he's got 15? What is it? 15,000?
200 bottles, something like that.
I think it was over
200. I don't know enough about wine to know what to drink half the time. That port, was a good one too.
So yeah, I mean, getting into cigars, you know, educating yourself.
I know you guys still have some time left. Sorry to interrupt, but closing ceremony is starting in 10 minutes. If any of you
I think we're down to the last two slides anyway. Cigar media, like I said, if you want to learn more, there's a lot of podcasts. There's our podcast, Cigar Nerds podcast, at cigarnerdpodcast.com. Another show I recommend is the Stogie Geeks. And they're ones that they get deep into cigar. Like I said, we do cigar segments. Their whole show is about cigars and reviewing cigars and There's another one, speaking of pairings, it's called, I just discovered it, called Cigar Jukebox. A guy out of Australia, he prepared playlists to go with the cigars. He's like all about pairing the right music to go with the cigar. He'll generally, you know, it's like it's an hour smoke, here's an hour playlist of what you should listen to while you're smoking. So it's kind of interesting. And there's like tons of cigar magazines, both regular and digital. Cigar Aficionado is probably the one that everybody knows. There's whatever cigar, Cigar Snob is another one I see a lot of.
Cigar Advisor.
And of course, you know, just about every cigar magazine has like websites. I can't read it from here, Brad, if you want
to. Yeah, Tobacconist University. That's one that I've found is very informational. And then you've got, Cigar Coop, and it is kind of a review. So if you're looking to just be like, all right, what kind of flavor profile, does this have? What are people saying about it?
Stogie Geeks podcast. A lot of good information on there.
Of good information about a specific cigar. And,
that pretty much wraps us up. Y'all have any questions, suggestions?
There's a steampunk-themed cigar, I think, the Foundry.
Foundry, yes.
I've had it a couple times and it was good, but how does it match up against other cigars?
Seen one in a while, though. For where we're at, it's they're hard to find.
Well,
I used to buy them
the cigar shop.
Right, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, there's probably 10, 15 cigar shops within a 10-mile radius of my house, and one cigar shop in particular has the most extensive Foundry selection I've seen.
Wow.
They probably have 15 or 20 different varieties of Foundry, where the shop we go to all the time only had one or two. But I've had five or six different variations, and I have not found a bad cigar yet.
Cool.
Some of them are a little bit.
Bolivia was that had the other day. That was a good one, and it's fairly cheap. It's like a $5-$6 smoke by Foundry. It's real good.
Have you guys been to the Jungle Gyms, the place right
no,
over?
No, we haven't been yet. We'll probably
as we're heading out of town.
You should
hit White
there.
Castle and Jungle Gyms on the way.
They have a giant humidor you can walk around in, and like it's awesome.
I like Foundry. They do they call it the Elemental series, where like each one's named after a different element. And the first couple that came out, one of them was called Radium. And the cigar band was a little, it looked like an x-ray of a skeleton. The skeleton's sitting there doing this. And there was another one that had like a radioactive symbol on it. I'm like, I have to smoke those just because the freaking label I like.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we typically, give into the marketing, when it says, for serious cigar smokers only, or blah, 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 on the label, it's like, all right, challenge accepted.
Yep. You're like, we'll see about that.
That's like probably one of the first cigars I started smoking was the Rocky Patel Edge, and they just come in this plain wooden box, and they don't even have bands on them, and they started putting like a little band on the foot of it just to say these are the Rockies, not another unbranded cigar. But yeah, their box was like, for serious smokers only, smoke while sitting down. I'm like, challenge accepted.
Like, yeah, and
straight my manhood, I'm going to have to smoke that cigar.
And speaking of bands, a lot of people get wrapped up. They think a bigger, flashier band equals a better cigar. That is not the case at all. That is a marketing ploy. I've had some of the best cigars I've had, are an eighth the size of this band, looks plain, and I mean, you see that a lot with Davidoff cigars. Davidoff has some really, really, really phenomenal smokes. I mean, just so consistent, so good, but very simple design, but very elegant smoke. So, I try to not get wrapped up too much in the gimmicky, flashy bands and all of that stuff.
There's a few I'll buy just for the band or the names, because I collect the bands. I made a coffee table at my house where I just glued bands on the coffee table and sealed it in.
Cool.
For my smoking room. So I was nice. And I still got a whole box left over, and I'm going to make matching end tables at some point, because so many damn bands once you start collecting them. That and two, especially when you're new, a cigar, it's a good place to keep notes. The inside, most of them are blank, so you can jot down a couple notes of what you liked about it, and you know that, all right, it was this cigar that I liked when you go back to get another one.
Yeah, I definitely recommend trying to keep a dossier. And there's some mobile apps and stuff where you can, type in information about your cigars and everything.
Has a note-taking app.
But You know, that's really how you're going to figure out what suits you and what is best. You know, everybody's palates and what they enjoy is a little bit different, so I try to not put myself inside any box or anybody else inside of a box. You know, do what's best for you.
Any more questions before we wrap up?
No, man.
All right, that
covers it. Thank you, gentlemen.
And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast. We're your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.